We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Yeah, now it's working. This is Pastor Jolly John Makowski. I'm sorry. This is Wrestling with the Basics, but right now I'm wrestling with my microphone. It just won't stay in one place.
And it's not the first time, folks.
I know. Anyway, yes, this is Jolly John Makowski from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Nathans, Illinois, and Trinity in Darmstadt, Illinois. And at my right, I have
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South St. Louis City.
So how much money does the St. Louis Tourist Bureau give you every time?
Tree-lined streets. Wonderful parks and recreation.
Right across the street from the church, there's a beautiful
park. Oh, yeah,
park,
Francis Park. Yeah, yeah. So they have all sorts of great events. They have Grub and Groove, and they have the Compton Heights Band playing on Sunday evening. So, yeah, come check it out. Come check out Ascension while you're at it.
Grub and Groove.
Grub and Groove.
Grub and Groove.
A little food, a little dance.
All right, whatever you say, Matt. all right, it's time. We have a special summer feature. I lost. Oh, here it is. I've got this spring-loaded microphone, and every time I let go of it, it swings.
Swings
over.
Back. I know. Yeah. It's going to be a bruised and battered.
Yeah. So here it is. This is Opening Joke Jeopardy. By the way, don't be fooled by the name. It might be a joke. It could be an amusing anecdote. It might be a humorous story or interesting trivia.
Oh, boy. Wow. Okay.
But here are the categories.
You can't go wrong.
And you realize this all falls on you. If you choose the wrong category and this is a big flub, it's your fault.
Well, because last week I chose a category and it was this kind of a fake category.
That's right.
I chose.
Okay.
Maybe we could have a call-in or something, or someone, over Twitter, people could choose the category,
this could be interactive with our listeners.
Idea.
So if you like a category, do email us or Twitter us or whatever, and we'll feature it on our next show.
That's a great idea.
But for right now, it's on you.
It's on me. Okay, so, I'll do my best.
So here are the Jeopardy categories. Proud grandfather, bad jokes, opposite words, and here's some new ones for this week. Vegetable conspiracy, exciting Oakville Heritage Days events. And finally, as you're laughing there, laughter's the best medicine.
Oh my goodness. Between the proud grandpa and the Oakville events. What's the Oakville one again? What's the name of the category?
One category is proud grandfather, and the other is exciting Oakville Heritage Days events.
Oh, I would like to hear it. The Oakville Heritage Day events. If you think things are happening in St. Louis, wait till you hear what's going on in Oakville.
That's right. Maybe I'll get some money from the people that promote
the Oakville Tourism. Bureau.
Yeah. So we were at the Oakville Heritage Days this last weekend. And by the way, for all of our listeners out there, it's too late now.
So there's always next year.
But exactly. Mark your calendar now. First weekend in June, mark it, because it's just this wonderful little festival they have. And it's not like, some towns they have their homecomings and stuff, and they're big to do, and they got like a carnival in, and it's packed with people.
Oh, yeah. Well, New Athens, boy, they really have one whale of a homecoming celebration and parade.
But sometimes you don't want that. You want something just kind of low key, laid back, not big crowds to fight. And that would describe the Oakville Heritage Days. It was just kind of a small little affair, but it was a lot of fun. It's also the weekend of their yard sales. Mm-hmm. A lot of communities, do they do that in St. Louis? Do they have a community yard sale in St. Louis?
I think different neighborhoods schedule a yard sale one time, sure.
So if you're into yard sales, and so we actually did this for Father's Day. I know Father's Day is actually this weekend. Is it this weekend? No, it was last weekend.
Last weekend. That's right. Apparently, your family did not observe Father's Day this year.
Well, they did a week early because we were going to be gone on Father's Day. So we celebrated it a week early. But the ladies loved it because they went and they got bags of clothing for a buck and stuff. At Emmanuel Church there, where my wife is principal, they have the quarter paper goods sale. And you can get like party decorations and napkins and plates, and they're all a quarter.
Oh, you can't beat appreciate that.
It is. It's a fantastic sale. So that's the one good thing. We've got all these exciting events of the yard sales and the quarter sale. And then, of course, they had the entertainment. They had a group singing there, doing some kind of folk rock kind of stuff. That was kind of fun. Lots of interesting food, hamburgers, bratwurst, which you would expect, but they had buttered noodles.
Butter noodles. Yeah, well, I don't think that was a fair. Yeah.
Yeah, and they had potato pancakes with applesauce.
Oh, a nice German.
What? So they had that
German
kind of
food, I guess. Yeah. Very nice.
And then, of course, they have the Heritage Museum, which you can walk through, which is kind of neat because this guy died in 41, and they just kept his property exactly the way it was in 41. Huh. And he was a harness maker. So you can go through and see all the leathers and all the stuff where he used to make his saddles and harnesses.
Sort of
and
frozen
stuff.
In time, 1941. How about that?
Yeah, and all the things in his house are the original furniture and stuff, so that's pretty exciting. And what's neat is they've got all kinds of kid games, but just kind of laid back, you know, very homey kind of kid games. Tic-Tac-Troll. Have you ever played Tic-Tac-Troll?
I can't say that I have, no.
Well, it's kind of like a tic-tac board like they used to have on Hollywood Squares.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Except in each box there's a troll, and if you can knock out three trolls in a row, you win a prize.
Is there one that looks like Joan Rivers?
yes, it does. And Paul
the middle one, yeah, yeah. Or whatever.
And the ring toss and stuff like that. And the kids just loved it. You know, they don't need the big fancy video game things. And for a quarter, they could play these games, and you could win a small prize or a big prize, just like at the big time, you know, carnies and stuff.
Everyone's a winner at the Oakville days.
But now this is why I wanted to talk about.
Oh, okay, we've been building up to this.
In fact, I'm thinking our church may actually start doing this. Turtle races, Matt.
Come early.
Oh, man. Yeah,
stay late.
You don't want to miss the turtle races. Oh, I tell you what, this is going to be like Kentucky Derby stuff. I think once people see this, we're getting rid of the horses. We're going with the turtles. You get to pick your own turtle. You put him in the center of the circle, and the first turtle to run out of the circle is the winner. It's the most excitement I've ever had.
How about that? Turtle races.
Yes.
It is the most fun 4 hours you've ever spent.
Well, see, that was the thing. They put them all in the center of the circle, and for like 10 minutes, they didn't do anything. And it was like, oh, wow, maybe this isn't quite as fun as I thought it was. But as soon as one turtle took off, it was like it was all right
a
for
mad
all
dash.
Of them.
Yes, oh,
and they
boy.
Were all heading out. But see, there you go. There are some improvements I think it would make. First of all, we do need the shooter gun. I think that was the problem. The turtles were waiting.
They didn't know when to start.
They didn't
sure.
know when to start. They were waiting for that shot to say, now we can head out. And I think we need jockeys.
Turtle jockeys.
Yes, I'm not sure what we'll use.
What's going to ride on the back?
But I think it would have been a lot more exciting if there had been jockeys.
Sure,
on the
fasten
turtles.
A little saddle for the turtle. That'd be course. Great.
Well, they got the harness maker's equipment there. Couldn't they be doing
yeah,
that?
From 1941, yeah.
You could be making the little turtle saddles.
I hope the Oakville folks are listening because this is
so
just
too.
A treasure trove of ideas right here.
All right, enough of that. But that was.
Boy,
our...
am I glad I picked that category.
I'm glad you did too.
This is why we need the listeners' help.
That's right. So here, real quick, if you want to email us or Twitter us, the choices are proud grandfather, bad jokes, opposite words, vegetable conspiracy, and now laughter is the best medicine because we've already done the exciting Oakville Heritage Days events.
Okay, very Matt, nice.
What are we talking about serious today, though?
Well, we are. Last week, we talked about the Lord's Prayer. We talked specifically about the petition where we talk about leading us not into temptation. I had a good discussion about what exactly are we praying in that petition of the Lord's Prayer. But that brought up the question, well, what petitions do people have questions about? Different parts of this prayer that we pray, really, just about every time we gather together in worship, we pray the Lord's Prayer. What are we praying, though? Sometimes we don't give it much thought. And the one area that, the one petition that I had brought up that people had asked about is the idea of forgive us our trespasses or our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. And maybe that's a good petition to talk about after our opening dialogue.
Well, anything would be good to talk about after
give
that
us
opening
our
dialogue.
Trespasses.
Yeah, we'd be praying that after the opening dialogue. Okay, well, not interest me because people don't ever ask me questions because they're scared of me. They're scared. Don't ask him. You know, because they're afraid I'll go on for a half hour. I think is what they're really afraid of. So why do people ask you? What's the questions you get about that petition? Forgive us our trespasses.
Well, I think it's not so much the forgive us our trespasses part. Okay, we're on board with that. Sounds good.
Yeah.
And most folks hopefully realize we're in need of forgiveness. We are sinners, and that forgiveness comes through faith in Jesus Christ, all he's done for us. But the part that kind of trips us up, I think, is the second half of that petition, then, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Okay.
So the idea of, okay, Pastor, you know, I understand I need forgiveness, and I'm praying to the Lord for this, but also I'm supposed to forgive others? And is my forgiveness contingent upon, my forgiveness from God contingent upon me forgiving other people too?
And I think that is the hang-up, because it almost comes across as if, and indeed, in some of the earlier interpretations by the early Christian church, that's exactly how it was interpreted, that, if you don't forgive your brother, then you're going to have trouble getting forgiveness from God.
Yeah.
So how do you answer people? Do you say, well, yeah, that's absolutely right. You're all going to go to hell if you don't forgive your brother.
Yeah, well, let's wrestle with that. I think, first of all, that people ask that question really out of a sincere concern, because there's folks out there that really have been sinned against. We've all been sinned against, right? We're sinners living in this sinful world, and things are going to happen. People are going to sin against us, guaranteed. But some people have been really hurt physically by others, emotionally by others. They have these scars. And so to pray that in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us, that's sometimes a difficult thing to pray for them. So really, I think just a good starting place is, you know, it's not just this flippant thing, but it's really out of sincere concern that people ask that question.
And you're right, because there are people, and we honestly, in our hearts, we're still holding grudges, and we're still, a little angry with them. And then so it does call into question our own forgiveness of sins. I think you're right. In fact, did you know Earl Risso? Was Earl still alive when you were working with us out there at St. Paul?
Yeah, the name's familiar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a dear, fine, wonderful, great Christian man, faithful in attendance, compassionate. And yet he said to me, he said, that passage always bothered me, because he says, John, they're people that like you say, they've hurt me, and I really, it's really hard for me to feel forgiveness for them. I know I should, but sometimes I just don't feel that. And so now I'm called into question with my own forgiveness. I see you've pulled out your catechism there, Matt. Is there something there you want to share with us? Or?
Well, I've got my handy small catechism here.
It's small. It fits right in your hand.
It is. How convenient. It's so appropriately named. Well, it's some of the things. Well, we have the small catechism, and it gives us this petition, and then this, what does this mean?
Yes.
The explanation that Luther wrote to what the petition means. And as you read the explanation, I think it challenges us even more.
Oh, so you're going
to, I don't know, it's kind of adds fuel to the fire here. But again, I think it's worth reading. So what does this mean? It says, we pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them.
Yes.
Okay, so that makes sense. So forgive us, Lord, and don't ignore us, don't deny our prayer because of our sin, but coming to you in repentance and faith, you know, please hear our prayer.
Yeah. Read that for me one more time, if you would, please.
Sure. We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them.
Okay, very good. So that's the tension. We've been praying for all these things. Well, in fact, we just prayed, forgive us this day our daily bread. But will he answer that prayer because we're sinners?
Yes.
Yeah. And so here we pray, no, please, please do answer our prayers despite our sins. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. Don't ignore us. You know, this sin that we've done, that we, you know, sometimes it's compared to building up a wall even between us and God because of our sin that we built. No, knock that down. Forgive us. And please hear our prayer. Because we're forgiven in Christ. And then it continues, we are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them.
So it's kind of a confession then we're actually making here.
Yes. And I think, you know, like you said, we already mentioned daily bread, and we recognize that we're not even worthy of our earthly needs, our physical needs, our daily bread. No, we don't deserve them. But it continues, we ask that you would give them all to us by grace, for we daily sin much and deserve nothing but punishment. So that idea that we don't deserve any of these blessings we ask for in this prayer so far, Lord, we recognize that. But please forgive us and grant our prayer, hear our prayer, answer our prayer by your grace, out of your love, your mercy.
And like you say, that's the part I think we can all get on board with, that, yeah, and it is kind of interesting that we are midway through the prayer now saying, reflecting on the things we've asked before, and I suppose reflecting on the things we talked about last week, too, because we're now going to pray, lead us not into temptation, deliver us to evil. Why should God do that? Why shouldn't God just let us fall into temptation? Why shouldn't he just let us be overcome by evil? I mean, after all, we're the sinners. We're the ones succumbing to temptation. But again, in this petition, we're praying, oh, Lord, don't treat us that way, but do give us forgiveness. But what about the rest of the petition?
Okay, so finally, again, here's the challenge. So here's the last sentence in this explanation. And this is the part that I think is the real challenge then.
Okay.
So, having been forgiven, we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us.
Okay.
So if sincerely forgive, not just give lip service, right?
Yep.
But to really forgive the trespasses of those who have trespassed against us, and then also gladly do good even to those who sin against us.
And there's that gladly part that makes it complicated,
doesn't it?
Yeah. I can grudgingly do good to you, but to do it gladly?
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, not just forgive, but sincerely. Not just go through the action, not just lip service, and not just do good, but gladly do good. You know, and Luther's not just making stuff up here, right? I mean, he's just
yeah, he was prone to that, but not in this case.
Well, there were times, I guess, but in this case, I just echoing what Jesus himself said, idea to love our enemy. That's a sincere love, you know, to gladly do good. If you love someone, you're gladly going to do good for that person. But boy, what a tall order. Oh.
Now, I actually have a Bible passage for us to look at that I think reflects that and may help lead us to an answer, because the tension there is, well, what if I'm not doing this? And indeed, sometimes it is hard for me to sincerely and gladly do good. Have you got your Bible handy, Matt?
Yeah, sure do.
All right, pull out Matthew 18, if you would, please. It's actually the parable, I think, that this petition comes from.
Yes. Okay.
And by the way, so far so good. Maybe there should be a little tension here in this petition. Maybe that's how Jesus Christ designed it, that there would be some tension.
I think that's safe to say.
We want the forgiveness, but then again, that also involves forgiving those around us.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind reading there at Matthew 18, verse 21?
It says, "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?'"
And of course, the Jewish, I believe, the teaching of the rabbis is that you needed to forgive your brother three times.
Yes, so.
Which makes sense. You know, you do something bad against me. Okay, all right, maybe it was a mistake, an accident, unintentional. All right, I forgive you. Two times, I'm thinking, well, now I'm beginning to wonder. Really? Was it unintentional? It's kind of funny. But when you do it three times, well, you know, this is actually where we get baseball from. Three strikes and you're out.
Three strikes, you're out.
That's right. That was an old Jewish practice.
The rabbinical teaching.
The rabbinical teaching that is carried over now into American
baseball.
It's in
the Talmud somewhere, yeah.
That's right, exactly.
Wow.
People don't realize, many of the rules of baseball actually come from the Talmud.
Oh, shit.
Now, I'm making stuff
up. Where's that sound effect?
Oh, where is it at, Matt? Is it over here somewhere?
No, go back. Oh, gee. He's been beat up by the microphone.
Quit making things up.
There we go. Finally.
I'm sorry.
So Peter here, to your point, is actually thinks he's being generous in saying, oh, I'll forgive seven times. That's over twice as much as I really have to.
Yeah, twice plus one. Come on, what do you want from a guy? I mean, if you forgive him seven times, And then, of course, what's Jesus' answer?
Jesus says to him in verse 22, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven."
That's right. So let me think. That's 70 times 7. That's 490. Is that right?
It's a whole lot.
That is a whole lot. Let's see. I think you're up to about 205 for me. Not that I'm keeping track, Matt.
Of course not.
Okay. So obviously, what's the point that Jesus is actually making here? Is that what we're supposed to do? Count it. When you get to 490, that's it. You're out.
Then you're out. Yeah, that would make for a long baseball game for one.
Yeah, thank good they went to the Talmud, not from Jesus teaching.
No, but Jesus' point is, don't keep track. No, that we forgive and continue to forgive those who have sinned against us.
Yeah, really, I think that's it. There's no limit to the forgiveness. Seven is not seven. It's kind of like a special number in the Hebrew, too.
Sure.
Seven, a number of completion.
Yeah, perfection, completion. And two, what's the limit to the time of that God forgives us? Is there a limit that he puts on forgiving us? Well, no, there isn't. Thanks be to God. Jesus' death on the cross covered all of our sins, no matter how bad, no matter how frequent even. So there's no limit to God's forgiveness for us. And no, there shouldn't be any limit to our forgiveness for others.
And see, now that's a powerful insight because we're brought back to the first petition, forgive us our trespasses. So does the fact that we haven't forgiven our brother, does that put us in some place where we are no longer forgivable? Are we now making the same mistake that Peter did that say, well, now the Lord also has a limit to how much he can forgive us? No, I think that's a powerful insight that we're being pushed here to understand no, forgiveness is never a thing that puts any kind of limits or restrictions upon it. Certainly God doesn't do that for himself. Would he do that for us then? Well, but it seems like he does. Because read the parable then. Or did you have another comment about
that?
No,
go ahead.
Okay. Did you want to read it or should I? Verse 23.
23? Okay. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees imploring him, "Have patience with me and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he choked him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So this fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not have you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in his anger, the master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart.
Oh, gosh. Now I wish I hadn't read that. Wow.
Yes.
My heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so much for the gospel here at Wrestling with the Basics.
No.
Apparently, it doesn't look too good for you and me or anybody that's listening to us, Matt.
Yeah.
Now, I tell you what, we've kind of found ourselves in a radio dilemma in that we only have what? We've got 2 minutes left, and I don't think there's any possible way that we can resolve all of this in a 2-minute time period. So I'm asking you as my partner, is it all right with you if we continue this story next week?
Well, sure, let's do that. And especially since something we wrestle with, it's something our listeners wrestle with too. And I think it's worth talking about next week as well. You bet.
And here's the thing. I really hate ending the show like this because we really do emphasize the fact that we are the people that want to bring you God's love and God's mercy and forgiveness. And we've certainly kind of left us in a tension there with that verse about he'll do to every one of you, throw you into prison. You won't get out until all your debt is paid if you don't forgive your brother. And again, you brought out the sincerity word from the catechism. And what's the operative word here? Forgive your brother.
From your heart, doesn't it?
Yeah. Because again, I can hear people saying, "Well, I've forgiven you, but just don't cross me again." You know, it's obviously outwardly, yeah, but from the heart. But I do want to assure people, no, there's actually good news in this text. In fact, as frightening as this parable is, there is a fantastic gospel message in the closing words of this parable. And I hate to make you wait till next week to hear it, but I just don't think we have any other choice but doing that, Matt.
All right. Well, sad but true.
Kind of wrap up here, and then we will gather together and see that there is good news in the parable about a man who is thrown into prison until all his debts could be paid.
Well, I would just say, as our closing song takes us out here, as we forgive others, it's this proof that we believe, that we know, we have that confidence that we are forgiven by our Lord, again, through our Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah, let's never forget, that's the first thing we're praying for, is Father, forgive us our trespasses. More next week.